I am so proud of this church. So the praying and the worship, it's just wonderful, wonderful to experience and worship and pray with you. And we've prayed for, I don't know about it, it's been a tough week on the news, isn't it? It's been really hard, and I think the Queen summarises it so well, that it's been a sombre week. And thank you so much, Gwyneth, Angie, for praying. Thank you. As normal, might as well just go home, in fairness, because what I'm going to preach about generally has been picked up in the worship, and it's been picked up in the prayer, and it's been picked up by Sylvanus. So really, I have nothing else to say, to be quite honest. I'm like, I might as well go home. But I always love that we don't plan it, I promise. We don't know what each other's doing. We should do, really. But it's always an affirmation, and it's an encouragement from God. And God loves to laugh at me, I think, very often. And he has a wonderful sense of humour. But we have a good, good, good God, don't we? He's good. Yeah? And, talk on forever about the goodness of God. It's fantastic. Right, who can remember? Oh, you're all looking worried now. What I preached about last time. It's okay if you weren't there, but what did I talk about and preach about last time? Don't panic. I have the memory of a goldfish as well, and I can never remember yesterday. Go on, Amy.
Did you show some pictures of
us? I did, yes. Why did I show pictures of her? It was in April. It was a long time ago. Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, I was talking about what is the church? What is it? Yeah, what is it? And this morning, again, so cast our mind back really, really quickly. Right, are you ready? Are you on the ball? Who's on the iPad today? Come on, let's make sure you earn your pay today. Right, so first thing, we were talking about exactly family. The church is family. Yeah, I love that picture. It's so good. Yeah? Church is family. We are children of the Most High, God of the universe, who is Father. What else is the church? What else is the church? You're still busy laughing at Andy B and Fleming. Yeah? I love that picture. It's brilliant. What else is the church? Anybody? The body. Yeah, we are the body of Christ. We're not all the same. God needs us all to use our gifts and our talent. We're not supposed to be exactly the same and all do exactly the same. We're the body of Christ. The church is the body. What else? Oh, he's done it. Oh, good job she's not here. I've been in loads of trouble. The church is the bride of Christ. We're not perfect, but God, through Jesus, through his death on a cross, we are perfect. God sees Jesus when he looks at the church. Yeah, what else are we? We are, can anybody tell me what that is? The temple. We are the temple of God. There isn't a temple made with man's hands. The Bible says we are the temple of God, where Jesus and God through his Holy Spirit lives with us, yeah, and in us. And the next one, Ryan's favourite. Olaf, yeah. The church is not Olaf, yeah, but a bit like Olaf, we as a church take God's presence, a bit like that cloud over Olaf, we change the atmosphere when we go around outside the church. We are the keepers of the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? Anything else? We are the lampstand, and it's quite interesting. We are the lampstand. Jesus is the light, and we are the lampstand, and we have to lift the name of Jesus up to the world. Yeah, we just exalt his name. We are the lampstand. So, you did pretty well. Well, this morning, we've looked at what is the church, but I want to look at what is the purpose of the church. What is its purpose? Because, bring the next slide. What is the purpose of the church? Can anybody see that? It's a bit small, but anybody, are you techie guys, tell me what that is. Coffee maker. Well, I'll tell you what this is. Yeah, okay. This is a Virgin Superhub 3. Marlene is going to laugh at me and Brittany are going to laugh at me because they're ranting about this on Thursday night. But that is the latest bit of broadband technology, the best, most sophisticated router apparently money can buy. It's very technical. I have no idea what's inside it. When it's working, it is the finest broadband I feel money can buy. It provides. However, for the last month, my broadband has not been working. Yeah? And this wonderful piece of kit, yeah, which is the technologically amazing, is completely pointless. Without its purpose, doing what it's supposed to be doing, that amazing piece of technological kit is pointless because it is not serving its purpose. Yeah, however clever it is, it's not serving its purpose. And if the church, whatever it is, if it could be the family, it could be all these different things, but if it doesn't serve its purpose, it is pointless. Yeah, pointless. So, that's what I'm going to be speaking about. And I'm going to try and help you remember by doing in a very, very simple kind of shape, an easy way of remembering. Okay, so the next slide, Ryan. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. And I think that little one line actually summarizes the purpose of the church. Follow me, God, I will make you fishers of men. Yeah? And out of that, you get the next line, Ryan. You get, follow me, I will make you down fishers of men. Up, down, out. That is the purpose of the church. Up, down, out. So what are these three purposes? Well, we're going to have a look at each of them very quickly. But the first one is up. Follow who? Me. Follow me. The first purpose of the church is worship. Worship. That is what we're here for. The function of the church is to bring glory to God. That is what we are here for. And we worship God in our singing and our praying and all these things we've done this morning. But also, we worship God through our lives. Yeah, worship. I'm going to read you. Let's consider. I want you to. This is why we worship. I'm going to read you Ephesians chapter 1, verse, starting at verse 3. Okay. But this is why we should, some of the reasons why we should worship. Paul goes, he goes, oh, praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world. God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he's purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on him, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And moving forward, God's purpose was that we Jews were the first to trust in Christ, that bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, that's you, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving us his Holy Spirit, who he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he has promised his own people. He did this so we would praise him and glorify him. I cannot even stop to delve the immensity of that part of Scripture. You'd be here for weeks. The good, good things that God has done for us. The good, good, good things that God has done for us. Interestingly, I have some really good Muslim friends, beautiful people, and they were asking about my faith, and they were asking me why I do good things, and is it to earn my place into heaven? Yeah, why don't I get a job that pays loads and loads of money, or make money rather than helping refugees and things like that? And my answer was, I do good things as a thank you to my most wonderful Father in heaven, who has done so many good things for me. And that is why I praise and I worship. Our lives should be the biggest, biggest thank you to God that we can possibly do in any way possible. Yeah? We glorify God. Our lives are a thank you. Yeah? Let our lives bring glory to God. Do you know what? I don't need to spend a lot of time slagging off other religions or other things like that, because you know what? Ours is so good. What we have got is so good. And we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. God is good all the time. And that is why we worship. We worship. The Westminster Catechism, which is an old-fashioned Sunday school slide, I love it. Yeah, but it says, man's chief end, this is 101, man's chief end is to glorify God. He's saying thank you and enjoy him forever. We don't only get to glorify him and worship him, we get to enjoy him. Being good, living a thankful life is enjoyable. So the first purpose of the church is to give God glory and worship through singing, through prayer, and through our lives. Yeah? How do we give God glory through our lives? Through love. Being a prophetic, gracious, and merciful people. That is how we give God the glory. Yeah? Purpose of the church is to worship God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah? God is good. So God said, follow me. Next one, down. I will make you. The second purpose of the church is, the posh way of saying it, is for the edification of the saints. Yeah? Which is a really old-fashioned, boring word. But what that means is, the purpose of the church is to equip you guys to live the life that you were meant to live, that glorifies God. This is the world we live in. Ephesians 6. Put on all of God's armour so that we'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood and enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We are at war, not with people, with the evil authorities in heaven. And they want to mess us up because we are, our lives are giving glory to God. As a church, as a Christian life, is not spent on a cruise ship. You are not spend your life chilling out and enjoying good things. We are on a battleship. And Satan is going to drop bombs on us. A few of you have had some bombs dropped on them this week. Yeah? And we're at war. It's not going to be an easy life. But the church is there to prepare the saints for war. Not war in a physical sense, but war in a in a spiritual sense. Edification of the saints is the promotion of spiritual growth and development of character of believers by teaching or by example, suggesting such spiritual progress as a result of patient labour. How do we build ourselves up in discipleship? Through prayer, and that's what we're going to be doing. Through teaching, through reading scripture, through encouraging each other, through supporting each other, through all the things that the church does. The role of the church is helping one another along the road to Christ-likeness. That is the down purpose of the church. And God has saved you, but he doesn't want to leave you. You're saved. If you are a believer in Christ, you are saved. But God doesn't want to leave you at the beginning. He wants to sanctify you and salvage you and salvage your life and make you more like him. Yeah? That is the purpose of the church. We need to see more fruits of the Spirit in this church. So we want to be a people who foster discipleship and get filled with God's Spirit, and we have fruits of the Spirit, which is love. We want to be defined as a people of love. Yeah? We want to be defined as a people of joy. I love watching Gina and Andy lead worship. Is it just so joyous? Yeah, we're joy. We have, what has God done for us? We are joyous. Yeah, patience. Be a page. You know what? We're going to cock up. We all cock up. We all hurt each other. But sometimes we need to be long-suffering, patient. And that's a fruit of the Spirit, not a picky people. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-controlling. That is the job of the church, to build that environment and disciple. Follow me. And through God's Holy Spirit, I will make you. That is the purpose of the church. Up and down. Follow me, and I will make you. Next slide. It's a good job she's not here. This is Abigail. Now, if you've ever met, she's not in at the moment, but Abigail is not a normal child. When Amy was very easy to deal with. Abigail, something else. Well, we thought we had parenting down until we met Abigail. But one of Abigail's special tricks was that if she goes anywhere near sound, she eats the sound. Yeah? And if you try and stop Abigail doing anything generally, but particularly if you stop her eating sand, yeah, she would get very upset, even though she needed to understand that eating the sand was not good. Can you see her eating the sand? We even got, she's wild, wild. But actually, that's a picture of God with sin in our lives. Yeah? God wants, you might want to eat the sand, the sin, it tastes good, it looks good, but God doesn't want to leave you like that. He wants to be a loving father and wipe your mouth with that sand, yeah? And live holy lives that honour God. And that is the role of the church, to build that environment, holy, pure, not eating sand. And finally, he says, out. He says, follow me, worship, I will make you fishers of men. Out. The last purpose of the church is evangelism or acts of mercy and building God's kingdom. Now I'm gonna own up a little bit. Is, I don't know whether it's just me or other people empathise with this, but I went to a leadership training course, and one of the guys that are teaching on evangelism, and I when people teach on evangelism, actually it just bores me, really. You know what I mean? It's not bores me, but it makes me generally feel guilty because I think, oh, I've not done this, I've not done that, whatever. Yeah, and actually what he did, he went round, bearing in mind this is New Frontiers leaders of churches, and he said, right, I want you to throw out When I say evangelist, what's the first word that comes to your mind? And the words, probably I don't know what they expected, was brilliant, whatever. Actually, the words that came to these New Frontiers leaders was nutter, guilt, leave me alone. Yeah, it was negative words. Yeah, and so often, and I have been exactly the same, when we mention evangelism, this is what happens. You go out to your work or your workplace or wherever you are, and the pastor tells you you need to go and make new Christians. So you try and talk to somebody about Jesus, and they might be nice to you, they might laugh at you, I don't know. You're doing well, you're talking about Jesus, and then they don't get saved. And then you might have a conversation about them again, and then they don't get saved. And then you stop, and then you start thinking, I'm a rubbish Christian, I'm a rubbish Christian, I'm a rubbish Christian, I'm a rubbish Christian. Does anybody empathise with that position? Yeah? Yeah. If you haven't led 20 people to the Lord by next Thursday, you're a rubbish Christian. That is not the case. Don't get me wrong, I think we should preach the gospel because it is good news. Good news. But that is how we feel. We sometimes feel rubbish Christians. But actually, do you know what? In John chapter 4, this is what Jesus said. He flips it on his head. He says, this is after he's talking to the lady at the Well of Samaritans, and he says, you know the saying, one plants, another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant, and others have already done the work, and now you will get together the harvest. There was revival in that town that day. They didn't spend the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours teaching them scriptures in that city. They were sowing seeds for the kingdom. Yeah? And as a church, yes, preach the gospel, but yes, sow seeds for the kingdom of God, whether that is preaching the gospel, whether that is mourning with somebody and making them a brew. And that is what Jesus has told us to do. And sometimes we will sow seeds and not harvest, but other times others will sow seeds and we will harvest, and there is a God economy. Yeah? Do you want to go sow seeds of the kingdom? Yes, you are not rubbish Christians. Go sow seeds for the kingdom. That is the purpose of the church. Out, up, worship me, down, discipleship, edification, out, go build the kingdom. We preached through Joshua last year, and kind of at Alistair Murdoch's prophetic hand grenades that he threw in earlier in the year. But actually, one of the preachings that he did, Andy stood up here and asked, what is the promised land? If the Israelites was the promised land, what is our promised land? It is a little bit heaven, yeah. But actually, in our context, the promised land is the rule and reign of Jesus over Blackburn. Yeah, that's what it is. And you know what? We pray for revival. Who here does not want revival? Hopefully that's everybody wants revival. I want revival. But you know what? The revival is the promised land, is the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in Blackburn. And the people of Israel did not get transported from Egypt to the promised land. God gave them the promised land, but they had to take it. They had to take the promised land by force. Yeah? Through sowing seeds of the kingdom. Sometimes, I'll be honest again, I sing songs, these praise and worship songs, about sometimes dancing in the water and jumping in the river and all these songs. Don't get me wrong, I love these songs. But actually, they weren't making any impact in my life because they weren't relevant to me, because I weren't doing nothing. God will provide everything we need. God has given us all. But we need to sow seed from the kingdom and take the promised land. Are you excited? You look more scared, actually. But that's what we need to do. We need to take the land. This is what Isaiah says, and it's all through the prophets. Amos is ranting. The promised land is mercy, is evangelism and mercy. This is what Isaiah said. Get this, right? They're in big trouble. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of ram and fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to me and worship, who asks you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of offerings disgust me, as you do your new celebration, the new moons and Sabbath, and your special days for fasting. They are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourself clean and get your sins out of my sight. This is what God wants. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the right of the widows. Come now, let us settle this. The Lord. That's what Jesus wants. The next slide. His people were singing and dancing or whatever, but actually, all that is good, but without taking the land, it's nothing. Pointless. This is your town. This is just some of the stats about Blackburn with Darwin. Okay, levels of deprivation are high in Blackburn with Darwin, with the authority ranked as the worst in Lancashire for levels of income deprivation and inside the worst 10% nationally. See, Blackburn with Darwin has one of the worst levels of child poverty. You know, one in two children are considered to be in poverty in Blackburn. That broke my heart when somebody said that. 21% of primary school children receive school meals, significantly above the national average of 14%. The authority also has the high levels of fuel poverty, with 13.4% of the households in Blackburn with Darwin required to spend more than 10% of their income on fuel, ranking the district within the bottom 20% nationally. That is your town. That is your land. God has given it to you, but we need to take it. We need to take it through mercy. As a church, we need to preach the gospel, but we need to remember the poor. And we need to sow seeds for the kingdom through love, joy, peace, and all these things. But seek mercy. Be a merciful people. So Jesus says, follow me. Worship me, and I will make you down, make you fishers of men, out, sow seeds for the kingdom. And you need to have all three, because what happens if you have no upward focus? You can easily blow up, because God gives his sustaining power, and we can only live if we worship God. And if we have no inward focus, we will bust up the church, because we need strong characters filled with the fruits of the Spirit, working in love in the community to grow as a church and to thrive. And if we have no outward or no mercy, we will dry up, because God has given you all the good things that we've got. To love others. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is my heart. I hope it's God's heart, but reflected through our visions and our values. We are Community Church, Blackburn. And our purpose is to love God, to love people, which is ourselves and outsiders, which is down, to build God's kingdom. Build God's kingdom. How are we going to do that? So up, we're a worshipping people, living our lives thankfully dependent on God. Down, we want to have prayer meetings, growth groups. If you're not in a growth group, get in a growth group. Teaching, Bible study, preaching, opportunity to train, bringing through leadership, encouragement, being filled with the Spirit, bringing gifts, discipleship courses, all these things to edify the saints. And out, we want to do and reach out to the lost and have mercy in as many ways as we possibly can. And I want to give Satan such a kicking in Blackburn for the kingdom of God. I have had enough of Satan ruling over this town. Don't know about you, but that's God. God has broken my heart. He's broken my heart. If our church does not fulfill these purposes, it is like my Virgin 3 hub, pointless. Pointless. If that resonates or you're with me with that, I'd really like you to stand. You don't have to if you can, but stand, because I want to pray. Yeah? That is our purpose. Does that sound okay to you guys? Yeah? Up, worship God. Down, edify the saints. Out, evangelize and build mercy. God gave, I hate bringing scripture out of context. I don't like it normally. But I want to read, God gave me a promise last year. And I've gone over and over and over and over it. And you're going to hear it over and over again. I apologise in advance. But this is a promise. I believe God has promised this. And some of it you go, God could never do that. But this is what I believe God has promised us as a church. In God, not only our church, but as a church. Isaiah 60, the end. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever. For I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. The tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us, for the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. Good news. He sent us to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim the captives will be released. Who wants to see the captives released in Blackburn? Of drugs and drink and all these things. We are the answer, we are the church, the captives to be set free. And the prisoners will be freed. He has sent us to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And it is the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all those who mourn in Israel and Blackburn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes and a joyous blessing instead of a day of mourning and instead of despair. And in their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. For the Lord has planted us here for his glory. They will rebuild ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many, many generations. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come by your Holy Spirit. Lord, our heart is breaking for our city and for our town. Lord, we are sore, we sit on your mercy for what we have done and what we haven't done. Lord Jesus, make us be a worshipping people. May we glorify you through our singing and our lives and our love. Be a people of grace and mercy. Lord, fill us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us fruits of your Spirit. Lord, build us up. Encourage us, Lord. May we be a people of disciples and followers. Lord, when we fall down, Lord, may we get back up. Sanctify us. Edify us. Lord Jesus, may we be a people that doesn't just sing and stay in these four walls, Lord Jesus, but goes out and shares the gospel, not because we have to, because why wouldn't we? It is good news. Good news. Lord, may we be a people that sow so many seeds that they grow and they grow as you water them. And may we harvest as well. Lord, may we be a people that show mercy and remember the poor. All for your glory. Your glory alone. Lord, build your church. We want revival and we want to be a people of faith that can take it because you've given it us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come.